Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. As always, I give glory and honor to you, Lord. And I thank you for your word. A word of God, so powerful like that. Sharper than any two-edged sword, in fact, we're told. And he always brings light into our hearts, understanding and giving understanding to the simple. Let that be so this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, developing spiritual stamina and toughness. You know, people talk about developing mental toughness, emotional toughness, you know, and all of that is wrapped into what I'm going to be talking about today. But I want to bring it from the angle of the spiritual, you know, because, you know, if we can get this spiritual man nourished and built up, then, other aspects should flow along, you know. So we want to build some spiritual capacity. And I'll be giving just a few scriptures, about a dozen scriptures or so. Again, this will be a Bible study today. So just so we have the information that we need from the scriptures, what God is telling us about spiritual stamina and toughness. You might consider it a follow-up from yesterday's lesson. Now, yesterday we talked about, you know, the scent of water. That was more of a ministration rather than a Bible study, you know, and how that God, even though things look dead, he can revive them again just from a moment of refreshing from the Lord, especially when you hear his word. Today, I want to go into this as a study of his word, you know, and let me start from the admonition of Paul to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to read just a few verses there. Again, this will be a Bible study, so I'll be giving out several scriptures. And let's take a look at, you know, what these scriptures have to tell us. So, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that worth entangleth himself the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. Now, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Why would he throw something like that in there? Well, think of a track meet, and, you know, they always have rules. You know, you can't just, you know, run as fast as you can, get to the line and think that's all there is to it, the finish line. You know, if it's a race in which you're supposed to stay in your lane and you did not stay in your lane, you know, you step on even your lane boundary, as so much as step on your lane boundary, or if it's a relay race in which you are supposed to receive or pass the baton within a certain block of distance, and you don't, you do that outside, you may come first, or you may think you did, but you may still be disqualified. There are rules for everything. Every sports game, they have rules. You know, you may do something and you think, yeah, you got it. The umpire or the referee may call it and say, no, you did not. You know, you broke the rule. You know, so he's talking about, look, when you're striving for masteries, if you're an athlete, well, you got to do it according to the rules. Well, that's always what I call the rules of engagement. That's right. You know, you have the rules of engagement, the military and so forth. You know, they'll teach you that. You know, so certain things you got to do. You got to know your enemy. You got to have a strategy. You got to have a plan. And sometimes you have to do a surgical strike. You can't just, you know, do things anyhow. you know, and sometimes you have to train. And even when they are training, then sometimes they, you know, if it's a, you know, and a special forces elite team or whatever that's going to go on a rescue mission, you know, they you know, they have, you know, intelligence, you know, things like that. They gather intelligence. They, you know, they, you know, let's say they're going to go rescue or attempt a rescue operation. They have intelligence that they've been gathering for months or whatever. They build a replica of where they're going, you know, and they practice and practice and practice and they time it. I mean, maybe the target is 90 seconds, you know, but they'll start out for that target and they need to get it to not only 90 seconds. That was the target. They need to get it down to maybe around 80 or 70 something. So they keep practicing, you know, and surgical. You got to go in there. You got to grab, you know, you got to grab the prize, you know, the target, the package, they call it. You got to get them out of there. And you try to do it without hurting someone else that's not an enemy. And, you know, of course, those enemies, they'll plant, you know, civilians and different things there. They'll plant children and women there to deceive. You know, actually, some of them are part of the enemy, you know. And, you know, but they, you know, they practice. You know, and they develop toughness. And they, you know, and you say, you know, they do it. They look at the time. You didn't do it. Got to do it again. You got to go and you got to do it again. Same thing, everybody. It's a training. And you say, you know, I mean, people who do swimming and stuff like that, they do the laps. The coach will say, do it again. And then you got to do it again because it's timing you. You're running the laps. You got to do it again. Whatever they're doing, you got to do it again. You got to do it again. You know, and because I say target. And, you know, even if you fall down while you're doing it, you got to get up and do it again. You know, the coach, the coach is not going to relax. You know, and pat you on the back, you know, when you haven't met the target. Even when you've met the target, he will just say, well, good job. Do it again. You know, so and you're like, oh, my goodness, you know, and so forth. And, you know, if you go to a boot camp, my goodness, you know, they will drill you trying to develop that toughness, you know, toughness. And not everybody can do it, you know. Not everybody can do it. I mean, some of the military that we have many armed forces here in the United States, you know. some of them, like Navy SEALs and different things. I mean, they can. I mean, the kind of training, you know, I watch them, you know. And I mean, this is Memorial Day weekend, you know. So. Some of them have given their lives. They've done all kinds of things. And we thank them for their service. You know, but for you, before they can get there, my goodness. Training. I mean, it doesn't matter which part of the armed forces you are. You're training so many other things. Praise God, you know, because you never know, you know, where, you know, the situation might be. And then they're trying to develop some toughness. You know, I mean, I've seen training that, you know, they can even drop people in the ocean, you know, with their hands bound and everything like that. How are you going to get out of that? You know, oh my goodness, you know, it's not for the faint of heart, those kind of training. But anyway, why are we talking about this? Well, they're doing that to develop toughness in them, you know, and, you know, the kind of toughness, you know, to combat many scenarios. Well, let's read First Corinthians chapter 9, verses 25 to 27. This is Paul also talking about, you know, his own kind of discipline. You know, I mean, you got to be disciplined when you are. He already said the same thing to Timothy. You gotta, you know, gotta be disciplined. And, here's what he said in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 9. And every man that striveth for masteries is temperate in all things. I mean, they do self-denial. You can't just eat anything when you're in training camp. You got to train, train, train. You know, you got to have moderation in all things. Temperate. You can't eat this. You can't eat that. You got to watch what you eat. You got to figure out how many hours, you know, you got to get enough rest. You got to rest your muscles. You got to do all of these things, you know. And they even, you know, tell you, you got to, you know, some of them, you listen to, you know, soothing music. You got to get your mind in that game. Get your head in the game. You got to, everything's got to be just right for you to perform well. And they go through many things to try to develop that toughness. Well, if you strive for masteries, Paul is saying here, you got to be temperate. And all these people, they do it. All these things that I've described so far. They're doing it for a corruptible crown. But we are doing it for an incorruptible crown. All of the toughness, whether it's an athlete, whether they are elite, special forces, whether they are Navy SEALs, whether they are armed forces, whatever they are doing, whether they are sports person, all those people, whatever they are doing, it's all in the natural realm. And it is, you know, for the most part, temporal, you know, but we are doing this thing for an incorruptible crown, a crown that lasts forever, you know, in the eternal kingdom of God. So we need to practice, you know, practice, they say, makes perfect. I mean, when you're little and you get on a bike, and so forth like that. Sometimes you fall down, you know, and your dad or whoever is training you say, well, you got to do it again. And then sometimes those kids don't want to do it again. Maybe when they fell, they got hurt. And they don't want to do it again. But that's not going to let them quit because he knows it's a skill they got to learn. So you got to do it again, you know. And sometimes they think the dad or whoever is too tough, but you got to do it again, you know. And they practice until they get it right, you know. And all of that. For a corruptible crown. But what do you need to do for an incorruptible crown? For spiritual stamina and spiritual toughness. Paul said, look, I run and I fight not as uncertainty. I mean, not uncertainly, not as one that's beating the air. Basically, I'm not doing any shadow boxing. I'm doing surgical strikes. I know exactly what to hit at. Hallelujah. I'm not wasting my time throwing just punches. I'm wasting my energy. I'm zeroing in. But to get, you know, for you to become skilled at that, that'll practice. Also, you know, if you know how to dish it out, can you also take it? You take it. You know, that's part of the training. It's not just about dishing it out, but can you take it too? I mean, a boxer, when they are sparring with their partners, I mean, they're not only going to learn how to hit, they're going to learn how to take being hit. Hit them everywhere, especially when they have studied their opponent and found out that that guy can throw some punches, you know, to the body. So you got to train, you know, and doing it for a corruptible, we are doing it for an incorruptible crown. And so, you know, spiritually, a lot of things that we need to do to develop strength in the Lord. And let me finish reading what Paul said about that. He said, look, when I run, I do it with precision. When I fight, I do it with precision. And I keep my body under, bring it into subjection. That's right. That's part of the discipline. That's part of the training, you know. At least, like I said, you have to do that. Spiritually, he said, I got to do that as well. A part of that is, look, I don't want to be someone I preach to everybody else. And then I myself, I'm a castaway, you know. Nobody is exempt from the rules of engagement. Whether you are the preacher, whether you are the listener, we're all in this together. And every one of us must go through these things. But, you know, you stand a better chance if you get good training, good teaching, and a good coach. You stand a better chance, but you must submit yourself to the training, to the discipline, you know, the regimen and everything they got going for you. Otherwise, you're not going to do it. You know, you're not going to do it. So this is what Paul is talking about. And I'm just using natural things, you know, to that we are familiar with, you know, before I get into the really serious matters in the spirit. But that's it, you know, that's the subject that we're talking about today. Well, okay, let's get into spiritual things here. I'm going to, you know, let's look at Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. You know, this is, we're getting to the spiritual part now. There's a contrast being made in the scripture of, you know, things. I mean, if you run against footmen, he says, and you are weary, then how can you contend against horses? You know, you can't go up against horses if you have not even been able to. I mean, you run alongside footmen and, you know, you're defeated and you're weary. And then you stack up your race against a horse. You can't do it. You know, that's what he's saying. If you run against footmen and you lose, then you can't win against horses. So now, how are you going to train to win against horses? Well, first, don't train against footmen. You know, I mean, you can't start, you know, you can't start to leap, you know, a building if you can't even jump 5 foot high, you know. So you train, you know, you start with the small things, you train and you get tougher and, you know, the training gets harder as you go through it, you know. So first it's footmen. Then it's horses. Then listen to this. He said, look, in the land of peace, wherein you trusted, when everything is calm, if you're weary, what are you going to do in the overswelling of Jordan? Now, Jordan overswelled its banks at certain times of the year. You know, so it's like saying, you know, when things are kind of calm and yet you faint, what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? Let's just put it that way. In the cataclysmic upheavals of things, what are you going to do? If even when things are a little bit calm, I mean, there's always problems in the world, but they are not quite yet like things are going, I mean, things are going to get harder, you know. But, I mean, if you can't win against the little things, are you going to win against the big things? And that's what we're talking about here. So there is a way that you must develop spiritual toughness. And God allows these things in stages, you know, that we must handle. You can't learn how to walk if first you don't crawl. And you can't run unless first you walk. But we're going in this lesson from crawling to walking to running and even to flying like eagles. We're going to see what it takes, spiritually speaking, that is. There was only one man, you know, that was an instant grown person. Maybe one man and his wife, Adam and Eve. They were the only ones that were instant adults and instantly grown. After that, even the Christ was born as a baby. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is presented. There's a big period between that. In the case of Christ, it took 30 years from the time he was born to the time he was presented. 30 years. There's a lot of things that happened. A lot of training, a lot of grooming, a lot of getting ready, and so on. Well, here's where we are today. Every cycle of birth and life goes through the same thing now. That come out as a baby. In fact, if any woman gives birth to a baby and they're already grown, they're going to run away thinking they had a monster. You know, they are babies, they're born as babies. You know, they look even helpless when they're born. You know, a few months go by and so forth. You know, they begin to figure out some things. They learn to sit, they learn to crawl, they learn to walk, and so on and so forth. You know, so, but while they're doing it, they're developing their muscles, they're developing all kinds of things, you know, their development is going on. Now, if they're not developing, then we call it a stunted growth. Nobody wants a stunted growth. If you have a child, you know, and they don't develop, I mean, 6 months go by, they can't sit. Well, you start to worry, but say, well, okay, well, maybe they're just a late starter. 12 months go by, they still can't sit up. You're going to start to get worried. They can't crawl at 12 months. You're going to get worried big time. I mean, just imagine 12 months go by, 2 years go by. They can't even crawl, let alone walk. You got a problem on your hands. You know, so, you know, we cannot also, spiritually speaking, remain babies. We got to develop toughness, you know, otherwise we are called stunted growth. You know, we're in a stunted growth, nothing going on, you know, just like a parent will not be happy if their children were in this stunted growth quagmire, neither will God be happy, you know. So, but toughness, you got to do toughness, you know, and the little children, when they are, you know, starting to grow up, when they cry, the parent jumps. After a while, the older they get, you know, when they cry for a bit, you don't jump like you would do when they cry when they were smaller or littler. I don't know if that's a word. When they were little, you know, you wouldn't jump. I mean, as much when they are grown now as you would when they were little. Yeah, you know, and sometimes say, oh, yeah, he'll get over it. He'll get up. You know, I've seen parents do that. Oh, no, it's no big deal. He'll get up. He'll shake it up, you know, and so on. You know, but that's not the case, you know, when they were little, you know, when they were 4 or 5 months old, if they fell from their crib, you are going to have a panic attack. You know, they're not going to say, oh, you know, he'll get up or she'll get up. No. But, you know, when they are 2, 3, 4 years old, they are running and they fall down. You say, I'll get up. You know, maybe you hold them close, give them a hug and so forth, but you turn them loose. You know, go do it again, whatever it was. You give them some advice, but you're not going to freak out and panic as much because now they're growing, they're getting tougher, and you expect them to. And so this is all part of life. God expects the same thing, you know, from us. And it's no different at all. You know, just using these natural things to explain these things, but it's all the same. Now, listen to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. He says, if you faint in the day of adversity, then your strength is little. Now, we're not looking for little strength. We want people who have, you know, developed their strength and their toughness, you know, toughness and strength. You may start out with a little strength, but you need to develop that toughness. And if you faint, you know, in little things, you faint, you know, against footmen, well, you're definitely going to lose against horses, you know, and so on. Now, listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. This is an exhortation for us to, you know, be strong in the Lord. And he said, quit ye like men. Stand ye fast, be strong in the Lord. Quit ye like men doesn't mean give up. On the contrary, it means, look, don't have this, you know, defeatist attitude, you know. And, you know, don't let the devil play ping pong with you. You know, get up already and stand up and fight and develop yourself. Develop spiritual toughness, you know. And you need to have good offense. You need to also have good defense. We'll come to that in a bit. You know, but it's all part of developing that toughness mental toughness. Quickly like men. Don't just be, you know, a pushover. That's really what that means. Don't be a pushover. And let the devil push you over. You got to resist the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, resist the devil. He's your adversary. Going around like a roaring lion, looking for whom he may devour. You know, that's 1 Peter 5:8. Whom you have to resist steadfast in the faith. You know, but listen. Why is the devil going around looking for whom he may devour? Why is he not just devouring everybody? Well, because some of them cannot be devoured. It's just that simple. You know, so, you know, he has to look for those he can devour. You know, just look. He can't just devour everybody. You know, he may try to for some of them, but he finds that they're too tough. You know, they're too tough. So you got to move on to some weak ones. He's always looking for some weak ones that he can prey on. You know, so, but when you develop your spiritual toughness, which is what we are trying to talk about today, you'll find that you can resist the devil. Glory to God. Even resisting temptation is part of that. You know, and so the devil is always looking for, you know, who he can devour. Now, that gives us an insight that, well, it's not everybody he can devour. If he can devour everybody, he will not look. He will just devour. But he can't. Some of them are tough. You know, they are tough. They are take-no-nonsense soldiers of Christ. God, you know, you can't mess with them. You know, because they have developed their spiritual toughness. And the devil comes around and says, no, I can't do this. You know, move on. Look for the next target. That's why, you know, that's why you fortify your home with, you know, security or whatever, you know. I mean, in the country where I grew up and came from, Nigeria, you know, sometimes all you see is fence and everything because of things they are dealing with. Can't even see the house anymore. You got to put gates, metal gates, gate after gate and gate after gate. Now, maybe it'll keep the enemy away, maybe not. But it's a deterrent. You know, when a prowler or a would-be housebreaker, you know, going around looking, even in the United States and your neighborhood, you know, if he comes to the front of your door and sees a gate, iron gates and everything else, and look at your windows, see they're fortified and so on, you know, they'll move on to the next house. So it's a deterrent. Because, you know, that house looks like it's strong. It looks like it can withstand something. So they're not going to try to kick down the door when it has a metal gate in front of it. You know, that, you know, let's just move on to the next one. You know, look at your windows. The windows look like they're tough. You know, like commercial and commercial buildings and so forth. You know, I know even in our church building, when we got the place, we replaced all the windows with, you know, fortified windows, you know, strengthened ones. You know, that look like they are stronger, you know, from, you know, would be assailant that's just looking, you know, they say, well, I want to do something. You put some gates there, you put windows that look tough, you know. So they move on to the next place. It's not, it may or may not prevent, but it might be a deterrent. You know, so when you develop that toughness, the devil knows it too. It's like the seven sons of Sceva that say, well, come out of him in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And he said, look, we know the toughness of Jesus. We know the toughness of Paul. But who are you guys? You know? So there's a difference between, you know, somebody that doesn't know what they are doing and just trying to use the name of the Lord and somebody who really knows what they are doing. You know, and that's what we want to talk about today. Developing your spiritual capacity into stamina and toughness. Glory to God. You know, so, you know, this is important for us as we go through a battle, a life, and so on. Now, listen to this. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, says, look, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, and it tells us all the things that we need to do to be strong. And having done all to stand strong, you know, now it, be strong in the Lord. So many scriptures talk about being strong in the Lord. not weak in the Lord. I mean, even in our faith, Jesus was never impressed with a weak faith. You know, I mean, weak faith, little faith, O ye of little faith. He used to, you know, rebuke them. O ye of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And so on. You know, why are you so fearful? O ye of little faith, and this and that. But occasionally, he would see some tremendous faith. And he would say, wow, you know, great is thy faith, O woman. Or he would say, you know, wow, I've not seen so great faith, no, not in all Israel. I mean, there was the woman, that the Syrophoenician woman, we call her, that Jesus was amazed about her faith because he said everything to that might discourage her. Like, look, I can't take children's bread and give it to dogs. At first, he didn't even listen to her. She spoke. He wasn't listening. He wasn't paying attention. Just looked as if, you know, the thing was falling on deaf ears. And then she's, you know, she was persistent. And he said, look, I'm not sent but to the lost house of, you know, Israel. It's not time for the Gentiles here. And I can't take what belongs to, you know, the children and give it to dogs. I mean, so many things that could have discouraged the woman. But this woman, yeah, she had spiritual toughness. You know, she wasn't going to take no for an answer. You know, you can say anything you want, but, you know, she knew what she was gunning for. Well, of course, you know, her daughter's life was, you know, was at stake and grievously ill, and she needed a miracle, and she was not going to be denied. And so after a while, and Jesus went through all of those things just to give us, you know, example. You know, you can read that story in Matthew chapter 15. It's a couple of places, but Matthew chapter 15 is a good one. You know, finally, Jesus said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Because she responded, you know, to the meat for dogs thing that Jesus said. And she said, look, yeah, well, that may be true, but, you know, when you put the bread for the children and they eat, the crumbs will fall down to the floor and the dog can eat of that. My goodness. And Jesus said, wow, you know, great is your faith. And so, you know, there were times that Jesus was impressed with great faith. You know, the centurion and so forth, you know, that said to Jesus, well, you don't even need to come. Just speak the word only. You know, then when they said his servant was sick and everything, look, speak the word only. And Jesus said, wow. And this man said, look, I know how you operate because I'm like that too. You know, I'm a man of authority. I also walk under authority. We have rules, you know, and he said, look, when I command, my servant must do. When I say this and so forth, you know, they've got to obey in the military, the commanding officer and so forth like that. You know, you got to obey. If you're not ready to obey, don't join the military, you know. So this man said, look, I know how that works. When I say to this, go, he goes. When I say to this, come, he comes. And I understand that you are also in the spiritual. You can say anything and it'll be done. And this is a spiritual problem. My servant is going to die. You know, so you speak the word right here, right now. And I know that in this season, my servant will be well. You don't even need to come into my house. And Jesus said, wow. You know, those are people who have developed, you know, spiritual capacity. How they developed it were different in each case. You know, this man, he used his own, you know, his own natural experience, things that he knew around his career. He used that to understand spiritual things. And Jesus loved it. He was, you know, impressed. Most of the time, he was not impressed with his own disciples. You know, he would tell them, O ye of little faith. Now, when they were in the boat, in Mark chapter 4, Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. And the storms came at them. They did not have that spiritual stamina. They had not developed that spiritual toughness. And spiritual toughness demands that you don't cave in, you know, in the midst of the storm. You ride out the storm. They couldn't do it. They just ran, you know, panicked to the Lord. And Jesus was not impressed. In fact, he was disappointed. He said, O ye of little faith, you know. I mean, why is it that you have no faith? How come is it that you are so fearful? He was disappointed. He expected them to be able to handle the storm. It was just a storm. I mean, it's not every storm that Jesus needed to rebuke. Jesus knew the storm was coming. If you don't think that Jesus knew the storm, then you don't know that Jesus was the Lord. He knew the storm was coming, but that didn't bother him anything at all. He just went and slept. Storm was going to do its thing up and down. You developed your mental, you know, and your spiritual toughness. You can ride out the storm. Glory to God. You know, let the storm, you know, let the waters beat upon the boat. Let the storm do up and down and so on. Doesn't matter. I'm going through and I'm getting to the other side, because he already said, let's pass on to the other side. You latch on to that word. You develop, you know, your mental and spiritual toughness through the storms. And sometimes the Lord will let you, you know, face even the very eye of the storm. It's like, you know, but remember, he's always going to see you through. The key word is through. Though I pass through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm coming out on the other side, because I'm going through. I'm not going into a dead end, but I'm passing through. Isaiah 43 and verse 2 say, when you pass through. So God's already saying you're coming out on the other side. And this is the thing that you use to develop mental toughness, spiritual toughness. You know that God said, when you pass through. So there are two things that we know there in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. One, we know that these situations will come. God said when. He didn't say if. We know that. So that means you will have situations that you need to pass through. The second thing we know is through. Not when you go into the water. Not when you go into the fire. If you go into the fire, you may not come out. You go into the water, you may not come out. You may drown or you may be burned. But he said, when you pass through. Glory to God. You know, so you use that to develop your spiritual toughness. You say, well, I already know I'm coming out on the other side. You know, so this storm will pass just like every other one. You know, these two will pass. You know, this fire, this storm, whatever it is. You know, it can do its own thing. I'm doing my own thing too. You know, I am going to the other side. Glory to God. And I often say, well, you know, people just don't capitalize on it. But most people say it too. But they don't think of what they say. You say, well, how are you doing? Well, I say, I'm going through some stuff right now. Well, and I say, anytime somebody say that to me, I say right back to them, well, by your own admission, you're telling me that you're coming out on the other side. Because you say you are going through. Nobody says, that's what everybody says. Well, I say, we are going through. I'm going through some things. Well, you know, so then you know that you are coming out because you say you are going through. You don't say, well, I'm going into some things right now. No, everyone say, I'm going through. Well, if you are going through then why do you faint then in the midst of the trouble? You already said you're going through. So go through then. Glory to God. you know, that's why we read Isaiah 62 and verse 10 the other day. He said, go through, because you said you're going through. Then go through. Hallelujah. You know, go through already. That's how you develop, you know, spiritual toughness. Because you already know, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Yeah, that's it. Because, you know, he said that to you, then you know that you are going through. Listen to how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, verses 8 and 9. I mean, this is resilience, you know, this is toughness. I mean, it didn't matter what the devil threw at him, kitchen sink and all, it did not matter. You know, he said, look, we are troubled on every side. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but yet not in despair. We don't despair of life. You know, sometimes it looks like, you know, everything's going to, you know, cave in, but we keep on going. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are cast down, but we are not destroyed. We are always bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. We know, you know, that Jesus got the victory for us. And no matter what we're going through right now, buffeted, but we're going to make it. And he keeps on saying, look, I know that all these things that may happen, he talked about it also in Romans chapter 8. This is how you develop spiritual capacity and toughness. You read these scriptures. You know, you read, you learn the scriptures, and you speak the word. That's part of your developing spiritual capacity. You read scriptures like this one, 2 Corinthians, which we just read, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. You read these other ones, like, you know, he talked about in Romans chapter 8, you know, all the things that he talked about there. You read those things and you say them to yourself. What shall we say to these things then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, you read that also in Psalm 27. The psalmist said the same thing. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? Lord is my salvation. You know, I mean, what shall I be afraid of? You read these things. You learn, you read the word. It's called read, learn, and speak. You read the word. You learn it. How do you learn it? Well, you meditate upon it. I mean, reading the word is one thing. Studying and learning it is another. You know, you learn it. And then when you understand the revelation, account, you know, you speak the word only. This is how you build spiritual capacity. You know, and these are part of the word. You know, God be with us. Who can be against us? They can try, but they are not going to win against me. You know, he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us. You know, how shall he not freely give me all these other things? And whatever you're going through, he said, look, who separate us from the love of Christ? And I say, even what shall separate you? You know, shall tribulation that you are going through, shall the distress that you are in right now, the persecution or famine or nakedness? I mean, you don't even have something to wear. You don't have something to eat. You don't have money to pay your bills, you know, or whatever. Yeah, I mean, you are in danger. You are in peril of your life all day, jeopardy of your life, you know. All these things, can they separate you from the love of Christ? You know, you read the scriptures, you build yourself on it and say, no. You know, the devil may come at me all day long. I mean, it looks like I'm counted as sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, glory to God, I am more than a conqueror. Not just a conqueror. I'm actually more than a conqueror. Glory to God. And you use these words, like Paul said, for I am persuaded. Now, finally, you know, remember the way he was putting it here and all these things. He said, we are more than conquerors. We are this, we are that. Finally, at this point, he makes it personal. Say, for I am persuaded. Well, are you persuaded? Well, you need to build that persuasion, that spiritual, mental persuasion in your mind that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Even things that are yet to happen. This man said, look, I don't care whether I'm up or down, height or depth, or any other creature. Glory to God. I'll be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now you build spiritual capacity, stamina, and toughness by applying the scriptures. But then again, God will let you go through some physical things to help you build toughness. You got to build that toughness, you know, and let me give you a parable. Not one of the ones that Jesus spoke, and he spoke several. Let me give you my parable. One time the Bible said, look, Balaam took up his parable and so on. Well, let me give you my parable. The kingdom of God, this is my parable now, is like, look, a man that is climbing, you know, this series of stairs, there's flights of stairs, you know, and you climb the first flight, you get to this little landing, you got to pick up something there, right? And then when you're there, it look like you think you're done, but then you lift up your head and you see that there's yet another flight of stairs. And then you start to climb the other flight of stairs. And if you left the thing that you were supposed to pick up there, they send you back. You got to go get it. Can't leave it. You got to take it with you. Okay, so you get it, you pick it up, which means, look, if there is some lesson that you were supposed to learn during the first flight of stairs, and then you get some kind of crown for that, but it's not the end, you know, if you didn't learn it right, and you didn't master that skill, then you gotta go back, you know. But when you pick it up, and then you go on to the next flight of stairs, and you think you got it, and you want to relax, you say, finally. And then you look up and you find that there are more flight of stairs, you know, and you got to carry each one of those things. At each landing, after each flight of stairs, there is a little thing. It's like a treasure hunt. You got to pick up something else, you know, and what you pick up here is going to help you for the next, you know, flight of stairs. That's my own little parable. And you keep going. And every time you think that you are there, you know, you've picked up one or two, three, you know, hints along the way now. Clues is what we used to call it when we did treasure hunt when I was a kid. You get to one place, you pick up a clue, you get another place and so on. You know, now you picked up some of these things and you finally, and then, you know, maybe you got, you know, some little, you know, successes along the way and you think, I've arrived. Then you look up again, you see, my goodness, when am I going to get to the end of this thing? Well, there is no end to it. You know, you're going to keep on going. That's right. You know, as long as we are in this life, as long as you are in this physical body, you are going to keep on going. There's no end to it. It's not over until it's over. And it's not over yet. You know, you got to keep on going. You cannot stop. You cannot drop any of those things. If you drop it, you got to go back and get it. You know, so spiritual maturity demands that you carry along everything from those, you know, flight of stairs. That's how you build spiritual capacity. God puts you through a test, you know, and you succeed. First, he puts you through running against footmen. Well, you succeed. Well, he gives you a little jewel, you know, that you're going to put in your crown. And then, you know, a royal diadem is a crown that has many jewels. And you're picking up these jewels along the way. You're going to put them in your crown. You don't have the crown just yet, but you're picking up the jewels. So at every landing, when you climb the first flight of stairs, you know, if you fall, you got to climb it again. There's no jewel until you get to that landing. So if you fall along the way, you get up, you climb again. You got to get to the top and pick up that jewel. But after you pick up that jewel and you think you got it, you look up and there is more to climb. You got to get it. You know, so God will, you know, stack it up like that. You'll stack it up. Glory to God. And the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, you know, and we've talked about it. Anytime we do some serious lesson in this room, I refer to this where God said, look, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you know, in Hebrews 5 and verse 12, you know, you ought to have been grown, you know, and developed. You have one need that wants you to teach you the principle. I mean, you're still like a baby. God is not pleased with that. You know, if you're still using milk, then he wants you to eat meat. You know, if you are still running against footmen, he wants you to win that one and then, you know, start practicing against horses. Glory to God, you know. And listen to this. In Isaiah, you know, chapter 40. And again, this is another way that he brings out the building spiritual capacity. These things are in stages, you know, and everything that you're going through, they're all stages. They're all this flight of stairs. And at each landing, you got to pick up some jewels. You pick those jewels and then you go on to the next one and so on and so forth. You can't drop anything. You got to go back and get it if you drop it, you know, and all that. So in Isaiah chapter 40, you know, here's what it says. He giveth power to the faint. That's verse 29. You know, and to them that have no might, increaseth their strength. You know, there's things that we call resistance training, strength training, and so forth. You know, I mean, you do strength training as an athlete. We had to do that. As a young man, you do strength training, you do resistance training, you do speed training too. You do all these things and so forth. You know, and you do technique training as well. Now, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their spiritual capacity. That's right. Renew your spiritual capacity. Building that spiritual capacity. Just like Jude says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to get to that in a minute. You know, you build up your spiritual capacity. You mount up with wings. You know, so look, you want to fly with the eagles. Not just, you know, walking, you know, on the ground. But yeah, at first you got to walk. See? But when you walk, he said, look, you develop the training that you need in order to be able to walk and not faint. Then you go to the level of developing, you know, how to run and not be weary. And you have to practice, you know. And I know when I was a track and field athlete, I only did the sprints. I couldn't do the long distances. But I used to use the middle distances and even the long distances to train for the sprints, you know, and so on. So you got to train that you will not be weary. You develop your strength like that. You know, if I was running the 100-meter, sprint, I would run the 300-meter sprint all the time and try to run as fast as I could for 300 meters. I mean, you're talking about just trying to train for, the 200 meters. I mean, when I was trying to train for the 200 meters, I would run at 300 meters as fast as I could and pick up speed along the way. So by the time you're doing the 200, you're still at top speed when you get to 200 mark, you know, because you are training with the longer distance. Same thing if you're doing 100, you would run as fast as you could for 150 meters. Just run as fast as you could and don't stop and keep building. You know, sometimes you put resistance, behind you and try to still pull through that as much as you can. Well, all of that is training. Training to build spiritual capacity, you know. And finally, if you figure out how to walk and not faint, you figure out how to run and not be weary, then you're ready to climb up with wings like eagles. Hallelujah. You're going to be among the eagles. You're not going to be among mean men. You know, your where you belong, you know, is not mean men. He said, look, you'll be above and not beneath. You'll be head and not tails. That's what he said in Deuteronomy 28. God doesn't want you, you know, with, you know, the mean stuff. He wants you among the eagles, not even among the mean sparrows that can fly high. You mount up with wings as eagles. Glory to God. Because you have developed your mental toughness. Listen to how Jude put it out. Only one chapter in Jude. But he put it out in a way, this is part of the things that we must do to build, you know, our spiritual capacity. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. This is verse 20 of Jude. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So, we've talked about reading the word, learning it, and repeating the word only. You know, now we're talking about prayer in the Holy Ghost and also fasting. You know, people don't like to fast. Well, Jesus one time, he defended his disciples and he said, well, you know, why do all the disciples of the Pharisees and the disciples of John and everybody fast, but your own, they're just going around partying. They're not fasting, they're just eating and drinking. And Jesus said, well, can the children of the bride chamber fast as long as the bridegroom is with them? No, they don't. They're just rejoicing. But the days come when the bridegroom shall be taken for them, and then they shall fast in those days. And those disciples were happy, you know, that they didn't have to fast. Well, guess what? You know, they could not cast out certain kinds of devils. You know, in Matthew 17, Jesus had gone to, you know, the mount with James, Peter, and John. And by the time he came back, you know, the man had brought his child who was lunatic and epilepsy and everything. Devil casting into fire, trying to destroy him and everything. Brought this child to the disciples. They couldn't cast him out. You know, and the man came to Jesus and said, look, I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't cast him out. And Jesus again was disappointed. He said, oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? You know, so again, you know, I mean, how long are you going to be babies? When will you have developed your spiritual capacity to be able to do these things? Bring him to me. And so finally they came to him and said, well, why couldn't we do it? He said, well, there were two reasons why you couldn't do it. Number one, because of your unbelief. That's why you couldn't do it. You know, because you need faith to do these things. But he then turned around and said, but nevertheless, you know, this particular kind, they're not coming out easy, you know, except by prayer and fasting. But you guys were happy when I said you didn't have to fast. Well, that's why you can't do it. You know, so you better get some fasting under your belt. You know, Jesus told them. And they said, wow. You know, so that's pretty much it. You can't do it. There's some things you cannot do without prayer and fasting. You can read that in Matthew chapter 17. You know, you read it. And so forth. Verses 20 and 21. Now, what about adversity? You know, how can we use adversity to our advantage to build spiritual toughness? Well, that's what Jesus, I mean, that's what Paul said to Peter, I mean, Timothy. That's how we started this lesson. Very first verse we read. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You got to go through the training. And sometimes, you know, there might be adversity. Well, there's some adversity that can be avoided by using wisdom, you know. And, you know, we've taught the wisdom series how to avoid many pitfalls. But, you know, some things happen, you know, and if they happen or when they happen, and you could not have avoided it when it happened. If you could have avoided it, that's better. But if somehow it happened anyway, then what do? Are you going to succumb under it? And if you succumb, then your strength is little, according to Proverbs 24 and verse 10. But, you know, it may be even little things that God is using to train you for more serious things. So you got to win every battle. You got to climb every mountain. And listen, if you have to climb more than one mountain, well, that means when you climb the one mountain, and you've gotten to the top, there's another mountain to climb. How are you going to jump from one mountain to the other? You're going to come down and then climb the next one. So that tells you that life is full of ups and downs. To climb the next mountain, you got to come up down from the top of this one, you know, and then walk some distance when you're down to get to the next mountain that you got to climb. You can't jump from the top to the top. It doesn't work that way. You know, so, you know, that's part of the training. Some people do rock climbing. You got to practice. Toughness. Now, Ecclesiastes 7:14, we gave this even yesterday. God allows adversity. That's why I said this lesson is a follow-up. God allows adversity for toughness. Some little adversity. It's not going to allow, you know, anything too much that's going to kill you or take your life. It's not going to put your life in danger. And if he allows it, then, you know, it means you can overcome it. Because he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there is nothing that God will allow that is greater than your strength. You know, but with every trial, he will give you a way of escape. You know, if he allows it, then that means he knows you can handle it. That's why he went to sleep in the boat, because he knew or thought. Actually, he knew that they could handle it, but they just within themselves, they didn't know they could handle it, but they could have handled it, but Jesus knew they could handle it. So he just went to sleep, you know. Now, so let's not disappoint the Lord. The Lord knows you can handle the situation. That's why he allows it. If you can't handle it, he won't even let it. You know, so when you are in the situation and going through that situation, in the season that you're going through, know that the Lord already gave you the strength. You build capacity with these things. You know, the knowledge that you already have the victory. Be of good cheer, he said. In the world, he said, look, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have testings. You're going to have trials. You know, that's part of the game. You know, but he said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world for you. Now, these things, he said, I've spoken unto you, according to John 16 and 33, that in me you might have peace. You're not going to have peace in the world. You know, he said, but in the world you're going to have tribulation, but in me you have peace. But be of good cheer. I already overcame the world. You know, just put your steps in my footsteps. You will be an overcomer as well. You know, we use all this knowledge to build spiritual capacity, but we don't back down from anything. You know, when the devil throws a cheap shot at you, you bounce right back. We read that yesterday in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. This man said, I will not stay down for that count. You can knock me down, but I will arise again. And when you try to chide me that the Lord is not with you, the Lord is not hearing you, look at you. Where is your God? You are in darkness right now. He's not hearing you. He said, look, the Lord will yet be a light unto me. And listen, there are times when God speaks to you clearly. And there are times when the things are smooth and going. I call it when you are in that light. You know, there's a zone that is light. Well, there will be days that you are in the zone and it looks like you are in darkness because the voice of God is gone. Can't hear anything. You know, it looks like you are all alone. You know, we read this yesterday in Psalm 102, you know, like a, you know, owl in the desert, a pelican in the wilderness, you know, like a sparrow on top of the house. I mean, you feel all alone. Well, those are the dark seasons. In that season, remember the word that came to you when you are in the light. Hallelujah. And it's how you build the strength. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. Let me summarize what we're talking about. You need to build spiritual capacity, toughness, stamina. And how do you do it? You start with the little things. You know, God allowed little things, you know. And you got to use faith for little things. If you don't have faith for God to heal you for a headache, how are you going to have faith for him to heal you for an ulcer? If you don't have faith that God should heal you for an ulcer, how are you going to have faith for you for leukemia, God forbid, or even some more serious, you know, cancerous things? How are you going to have faith if you can't believe for the little things? How are you going to believe for the greater things? You know, so you develop your toughness through everything. You win all the time. You win every time. You don't lose anything. You get in the fight and you win. Then you get in the next one and you win. And then you get in the next one and then you still win. Because he says, thanks be unto God who always, glory to God, causes us to triumph. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Now, always means always. Doesn't mean sometimes. You know, so, you know, always means always. That means you can win every fight. The little ones, the big ones. You can win them all. You don't have to lose anything. Because God always causes us to triumph. And when he does it, it brings forth the sweetness of his knowledge in us in every place. Hallelujah. Now, triumph over everything. Paul said, look, Philippians 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can win every fight. I can climb every mountain. I can come out ahead every single time. Glory to God. That's how you build spiritual capacity. And even sometimes you may be knocked down. But the key thing is, look, you don't give that. Never give that devil the satisfaction. Listen to this. I determined this many years ago as I was a young man. And I would never give the devil the satisfaction of thinking he got me down. He's not gonna see it. He'll go down to hell first. So if he cheap shot me, well, most of the time, if I'm on my guard, he will never get a chance to cheap shot. That's the truth. If you're on your guard, he will not get a chance to cheap shot. That's why the devil says, that's why the Bible says, look, be aware. Have your senses up. Have your guard around you. Put on the full armor. Have the shield of faith even. I mean, if you do all these things, the devil may not, he will not be able to penetrate, but sometimes he might. And even when he does, cheap shot you somehow, you find yourself on the canvas and you hear the count. The thing then is this, well, you may be knocked down, but are you going to stay down? You may be knocked down, but are you going to be knocked out? No, you will never be knocked out. You get up. And the Holy Spirit is in your corner, you know, and I'm in your corner today as well, saying, get up. Now, that makes three of us, you, Holy Spirit, and me. And the threefold cord is not quickly broken. Get up already. The devil said, no, throw in the towel. No. I'm not going to throw in the towel. If I lose this fight, how am I going to get a chance to be a championship contender? So you win every fight, you know, and we win every fight. We don't want this lose some, win some kind of thing. No. God causes us always to triumph. It's not a batting average, you know, how many you get, you know, how many wins you get. Get every win. And how do you do it? Well, you do it stage by stage. You say, well, who can do that? I mean, you're speaking theoretically. Well, maybe, but the Bible says I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And even the scripture says, well, all things are possible to him that believes. You know, but it's a stage after stage. That's how you build it. Jesus told, you know, many lessons in many of the parables. You know, and another parable that he told is this one in Mark chapter 4, starting from verse 26. The kingdom of God, he said, is like a man should cast seed in the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow. He knows not how, but the earth brings forth fruit of herself. First, the blade. See? So, and then the ear. And after that, the full corn. So that's the process. You're not going to get the full corn in the air if you don't first get the ear. And the air is not coming unless you first get the blade. You're not going to be able to walk if first you don't crawl. You're not going to be able to run if you don't even know how to walk. And how are you going to fly if you can't even run? You know, so walk, run, and leap, and then fly. You know, but look, don't hang out with the crawlers. Those are toddlers or whatever. I mean, they're even babies. Toddlers can't even walk. Don't hang out with toddlers even. You know, don't do any of that stuff. You know, move on to spiritual maturity. Don't stay around there. Well, maybe some of you are new to the kingdom. That's okay. So maybe that's why you're still a toddler in the faith. And that's all right. That's good too. But grow in Christ. And grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, scriptures after scriptures tell us that. Listen to this one also in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. This is the very last verse in that book of all the letters that Peter wrote. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord. You got to grow in him. You can't, you know, you can't just stay the same way. So grow means yesterday I lost a few fights, or so you thought. Well, actually, I say to you, you never really lost. You just thought you lost. All you did was you gained some knowledge. Glory to God. You know, so from now on, you don't see any of those defeats as a defeat. Or I should say, let me rephrase that. Don't see any of those apparent losses as a defeat. It may not appear that you lost, but you were not defeated because you gained knowledge. You gathered some strategy. You know how to do a better fight next time. Glory to God. You know, and, you know, it's not a one match series. There are many flights of stairs. You stumble and you get up and you are going to the top. You're not stopping anywhere. And the devil is not going to stop you. You'll try. The gates of heaven is where you're going. But along the way, the gates of hell will try to close in on you along the path so you don't get there. You are on the path of righteousness. The gates of hell will try to close up on you so you don't get there. But you are getting to the gates of heaven. You are getting there. Oh, my goodness. And along the way, yeah, you should be the one delivering those black eyes to the devil. Don't let the devil give you any black eye. Glory to God. You know, avoid all the black eyes by taking the word of God, taking the shield of faith, learning the lessons of wisdom. You know, wisdom will help you to avoid many black eyes. Faith will pull you out of the ditch, but wisdom will keep you from falling to the ditch in the first place. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's how we build spiritual capacity. Well, that's going to be my lesson for today. I've got to leave room for people to share your thoughts and so on and so forth. You know, but, you know, never give up. Never give in, never stay down, you know, you need all those little victories. They are jewels that will be in your crown. A diadem is a crown that has jewels in it. Some people will have a crown, but they won't have too many jewels. Others will have more jewels in their crown. You know, every battle that you win, yeah, it's a jewel. And you got to win everything. Climb every mountain, you know, and build spiritual capacity that way. Your stamina is built along the way. It's like an obstacle course, a training thing. It's not just a smooth ride. It's up and down, but ruggedness. You develop that ruggedness because the terrain itself is rugged and you yourself must be rugged. Glory to God. You know, and, if there is an obstacle, you jump over it. If there is whatever, if there are troops, you run through them. There are walls, you leap over them. You know, if there are bows, you break them by your arm. Say, the Lord make my arm to break the bows, run through troops, leap over walls, climb every mountain. I mean, this man, he will stop at nothing. And we want you to develop the same mentality. You know, you get into this mindset that, look, you know, don't stand in my way. I'm going to bulldoze you. I mean, we're not talking about people now. You know, we're not talking about you doing that to people. You know, that's how the people of the world operate. We're talking about the forces of darkness. The devil trying to prevent you. Run him over. Glory to God. He puts a barricade in front of you. Crash through it. You go through anyhow. You know, David's mighty men, they broke through the garrison and got the water and everything. They break through anything. And they're not good. Nothing's going to stop them. You know, break through, go through, do whatever. And if one road is closed, look for another. Don't turn back just because the road says, you know, road closed. You're going to find another way to get to where you're going. That's what most people do. They don't say, oh, the road is closed, so I'm no longer going. You find a detour. You find some other way. And then you go through. Hallelujah. Praise God. And don't pull any punches. When you got the devil down, finish him off. Well, figuratively speaking. We can't really finish the devil off right now. He's got his own future. But what I mean is pummel him down. Because if he gets a chance, he'll pummel you down too. So you pummel him down as well, you know. And then, you know, stamp the residue down on your foot and then move on. And get the next victory. Hallelujah. You get some bruises along the way. I don't think that this, you know, look, the stories that the psalmist told us about the lion and the bear. Wait until you get to heaven. You see, you know, he'll tell you more of those stories, you know, but it's like, hey, you got to see the other guy, you know, and you get into a fist fight with a lion. You come away with a few scratches. Say, where did you get those scratches? Well, you need to see the other guy. Scratches or not, you're going to win. You know, the important thing is you're going to win. You know, because the devil took what's yours and you're going after him and you're going to get that thing from him. It may scratch you up a little bit, but you're going to win anyway. Hallelujah. That's the champions. That's the attitude. That's a winner's attitude. And that's how you build spiritual capacity. You have that winner attitude. Now, and enough of this up and down yo-yo thing every single day. I've been trying to build people in this room, you know, get away from that stuff, you know, look, you know, get away from that stuff. Don't let every hours that you spend being depressed and down and letting the devil get, those are moments that you could have been praying, delivering somebody, witnessing, you know, and doing whatever. And having a joyful life. Don't let the devil, well, I know it's not that easy. You're going to have your moments. That's why you come into this room. That's why we do these things on a daily basis. You know, put more fire on the wood, crank up the wood every morning and give you the grace. You stand up, you look in that mirror and say, today is a victory day. Glory to God. And you win. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, yes, you lay your crowns before the Lord. That, yeah, I won again. You know, glory to God. And Jesus say, well done. Now you go and do it again. Jesus not going to say, well done, go and sit down and, you know, and come to meet. No. You finish doing this one, he'll send you another one. And you finish that one as well. Say, yeah, well done. Good job. Now do it again. Next morning. Yeah, well done. Good job. That's yesterday. Now do it again. And so you got to do it again and again and again. That's how we build spiritual capacity. You know, at the end of it all, glory to God. You say, come up hither. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what we're looking for. Come up hither. But before you get to come up hither, you got to win all of those little things and come your way. You got to win everything. Praise God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. I'm going to pray over the room and I will stop, yield my mic for reactions. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the lesson today. In building spiritual capacity, developing stamina and spiritual toughness. And I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will interpret this into our spirits. You know, that we may also know to say, yeah, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can win every battle because thanks be unto God who giveth me the victory and causes me always to triumph. Father, we thank you, Lord. And at the end of the day, we know that the fight is already rigged in our favor. If we can just understand that. Because the Bible says, you know, the Lord has already spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them already. Thank you, Father. Lord, let your people rejoice in your victory and in the strength of the Lord. And go in this strength that the Lord has given you. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.